Change Worth Making is a radio ministry of Pastor Jeff Haney of Pinecrest Baptist Church, where the Spirit of God uses the Word of God to do the will of God. We're glad you tuned in today. Our prayer through this ministry is the lost will be saved and the saved will be serious. Today's message was preached in the pulpit of Pinecrest Baptist Church. Here now is Brother Jeff.
S.I. McMillan, in a book that I've mentioned to you many times before, he wrote a book called None of These Diseases. And in the book, he tells a story of a young lady who had applied for a particular college she'd really liked to go to. And as she went through her application process years ago, there was a questionnaire, as there is on all applications. And one of the things, one of the questions they asked this young lady, are you a leader? Well, this young lady had a conscience and she had an honest heart, and she thought, well, she could maybe lie or she could just tell the truth, and she told the truth and said, no, I'm not. And in her heart, she thought, well, that'll be that. I won't get to go to that school. Well, she got a letter back. And the letter she got back said this from the dean of the college. Said, dear applicant, a study of the application forms reveals that this year our college will have 1,452 new leaders. We are accepting you because it is imperative that they have at least one follower. Everybody is called to lead, but not until they've learned to follow. Leaders who cannot follow cannot lead. And those who have been called to lead others to Christ must do what? Know how to follow Christ. You and I, that's what you and I have been called to do. Now, the glorious thing is, and I love this because it takes the pressure off, you realize you've not been called to save anybody. Aren't you glad of that? You've not been called to save anybody. You've not been called to get somebody into heaven. But you have been called to lead people to Jesus. But friend, before you can do that, you have to know how to follow. Now, this particular passage of Scripture that we read, sometimes people read it as it is the universal call to evangelism. And I want you to understand something, that while every child of God, every Christian is called to be a witness in the life that gave you, whether you're shy, whether you're outgoing, whether you're an introvert, whether you're an extrovert, rich or poor, sick or healthy, whatever status you're in, whatever personality you have, character you've got, you're called to be a witness with the things that God has given you. But not everybody has been called, listen, to abandon their desired futures, to abandon their livelihoods, to abandon their families, to abandon all they know. Not everybody has been called to do that. But everybody has been called to be willing to do that. And while everybody's called to be willing, there are some God will actually call to do that. Now, sometimes we read this passage and we look at it, and without any kind of study, without any kind of background or any kind of reading on it, we got to get this false picture that one day Jesus was walking along the seashore and he just looked at these disciples and he said, you come follow me. And they had just blind faith, and they just decided, all right, and they just cut all ties and they went. Well, friend, that's not the truth. That's not the whole Bible story. And so if you got this idea that somebody's obligated to just, that you're obligated to just cut all ties and run, you better read your Bible and understand all that's going on. Now, I will say this, and I hope you understand this. In every Christian's life, you've been called to follow Jesus, all right? No matter what, follow Jesus. Matter of fact, this word, this phrase, follow me, it means to accompany or get behind. It is, you're with him, he's with you, and wherever he goes, you're going to go with him. Whatever he does, you're going to do. Whatever he says, you're going to hear, and you're going to repeat. But with that being said, understanding that, you need to understand how that, what that looks like in real life. Now, I often tell you that we don't live by faith, and we do live by faith, but it's not faith that's the issue, it's our function. If you just got a faith that doesn't function, you're just operating on philosophy, that you must kind of live this out. Understand, following Jesus is a lifelong process. Paul said this, he said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." That is the gospel. And then those who are saved, you've been called and saved into a life of fellowship. What does it mean? Well, let me give you a few scriptures, and we're actually going to be all over the New Testament tonight a little bit, so get your pens ready. But what does it mean to go with Jesus? Well, Jesus tells us plainly, it's not hard to understand. It's not a mystery, and you don't have to have a degree in theology. Luke 9 and verse 23, he said to them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." Now, if I was just to preach this verse, I could say this in just a few minutes and we'd be done, but we got more to cover than that. But in this verse, there's one verse, there are three things Jesus says. You can write them down very quickly. Number one, it takes denial of self. He said, let him deny himself. Anybody not understand that? This is kind of like, what does that look like? That looks like what Jesus prayed in the garden when he said, "Not my will, but thine be done." That's just very simple. You're not here for you. God didn't make you for you. He didn't give you life for you. He didn't give you time for you. He didn't give you breath for you. Everything he gave you to give back to him. All of it, time, talent, treasure, energy, all of it dedicated to him. All right? Now, there's a denial of self. And then there is a death to pride. Look what he says. He says, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. Now, we often just read through that cross like that's just, okay, you've got to suffer persecution and die. Don't miss the message in the cross. You realize that the cross was a symbol of shame. Now, many times people wear it around their neck like it's a prized piece of jewelry, not having any idea what it means. They just think it's pretty. But at that time, it was a humiliating shame. It was a social shame. It was a humiliating shame. When they made criminals and carry their cross, they did it publicly, and it was a message. The world don't want you. You're not worthy to walk among us. You have forfeited your right to live. You are not worthy of human dignity. And it was a message that's why the Romans often did it. They did their executions like this publicly as a deterrent. They heaped as much shame upon someone as they could, as much humiliation as they could, because they wanted people to get the idea, don't mess with us. We'll embarrass you. Now, the disciples knew that. And when Jesus said, let him take up his cross daily, he wasn't telling them that, look, you're going to have to go get nailed to a tree. He said, you have to be willing to not be wanted by this world. You have to be willing for them to look at you and say, you're not worthy to walk among us. That's what it means. So there's death to your pride. And then there's supposed to be devotion to the Lord. He said, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and come after me. Well, this evening, there are two things that I want you to see, two points that I want you to get about what it takes to follow Jesus. It's very simple. It's very simple. You'll be surprised. You'll think that I'm trying to insult you, but I'm not. It's extremely simple and it's deeply profound. The first thing, number one, you have to know who Jesus is. In order to follow him, you have to know who he is. Let's look at our text. The Bible says here that he was walking by the Sea of Galilee, and he saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, and casting a net into the sea. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Stop right there. The first thing that I want you to realize about that is they had been with Jesus for 8 months already. This was not sight unseen. As a matter of fact, the first time, and you can write this down, John 1 verses 35 to 43, Luke chapter 5 verses 1 through 11, The first time the disciples ever saw Jesus, ever heard of Jesus, ever knew of Jesus, was 8 months prior to this. Let me give this to you. How did they know who Jesus was? First off, and how do you know who Jesus is? Well, first off, they had listened to God's prophet. John chapter 1, verse 34. John writing this, he said, "And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God." Again, the next day, John stood and two of his disciples looking upon Jesus as he walked. He saith, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. You realize that from the minute John the Baptist began to preach, he was preaching Jesus. And people were going and hearing John the Baptist. He was the last Old Testament prophet. The Bible says the law and the prophets were until John. And so John is the last Old Testament prophet. He's preaching about Jesus. He's out there baptizing at Bethabara. And disciples are flocking to him. And all he's doing is saying what has already been said, that the Messiah is coming, the Lamb of God, to take away the sin of the world. And in that day, when Jesus walked up, John pointed that long finger at Jesus as he came down the beach line of the river, and said, "That's the Lamb of God." Now the disciples at that point, the ones that were there, had to give some thought to what John said. The Bible says that these two disciples that were with John, they're with him, they see him, they hear him, they've listened to him preach, they've understood, and now John has said, "Everything I've preached to you, that's him right there." So they had God's prophet that had already preached to them. Not only that, they had looked for God's promise. Do you remember what the disciples said when they went and found their brothers? In John 1, 40 to 41, one of the two which heard John and followed him was Andrew, Simon's brother. And he first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted the Christ. 3 or 4 verses later, Philip findeth Nathanael and said unto him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Long before you get to Matthew chapter 4, verse 18, the disciples have been introduced to Jesus. They've heard the preaching of the prophets. They have heard and seen John the Baptist point him out. The disciples that were there heard the day Jesus was baptized when the Spirit of God came down on him and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." The disciples were already getting to know who Jesus is. They had listened to God's promise. Listen to God's prophet. They had looked for God's promise. The disciples reminded them, "This is the one we've been looking for." Now that tells you right there, these disciples were not men who were idle out in the world. These were men who were fishermen, salty fishermen, uneducated fishermen, but they had enough faith to look for the promise in the Bible. These men already knew. Listen, these disciples, they had a Bible. The Old Testament. Amen. They already believed in God. They already believed the Bible. They believed John was a prophet, and they believed John's preaching. They had the prophet. They had God's promise. And then they had God's power. I want to remind you, you don't have to turn over there. I'm not going to read it all. But in Luke chapter 4 and Luke chapter 5, long before you get to Matthew chapter 4, do you know what happened in Luke 4 and 5? Jesus healed in Capernaum where these men lived. Jesus had cast out devils. Jesus had preached in the synagogues. Matthew summarizes here what Luke would expound later. Matthew summarizing the first part of this chapter, what Luke would expound. And in Luke chapter 5, the first 8 verses, Jesus had been standing by the Sea of Galilee. He had a long night and a crowd had gathered around him so big that he could not preach. And you remember what he did? I'm summarizing you for time's sake. You can go look all this up later. The crowd was so big, he looked over and he saw Simon Peter's fishing boat. And he said, "I'll take that one." He went over and he got in Simon Peter's boat, pushed out from the shore, and preached. And then a little later, Jesus would get in that same boat with the disciples, or that Jesus would be on the seashore, and that same boat would come in overnight. And Jesus would ask them how their catch was, and y'all remember the little song, "We fished all night and we what? Caught no fishes. We fished all night and we caught no fishes." Well, listen carefully. It was at that point Jesus looked at these men. Now they had heard the prophet, they'd heard the promise, they'd seen his power, they'd seen Capernaum, they'd his healing and all of that. They'd seen all there was that Jesus had showed up to that point, and they known who he was. And Jesus said unto them, he said, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets." Now, we often read through that and never think about what Jesus just said to Simon Peter. Jesus was not a fisherman by trade. He was a carpenter. Simon Peter was a fisherman by trade. And let me tell you, if you listen, say amen. Amen. Jesus just told him to do everything a fisherman would not do on the Sea of Galilee. You see, those commercial fishermen on the Sea of Galilee, they predominantly fished at night. That's why they fished all night, caught no fishes. They'd take a light, a lantern, and they'd set it up by the boat. The fish would come to the light. They'd scoop it up. Furthermore, when they fished at night, they would also fish in the shallows. Never fished in the deep. They had to bring the fish up to the water shallow enough and bring them to light so they'd get their nets and yank them in and all of that. Jesus instructed him to do something that went contrary to everything his profession told him. Peter's tired. He's been out all night. He's toiled. He's labored. I mean, he's just worn out. And here, this man who really doesn't know anything about fishing, we've heard he's the Lamb of God. We've seen him do miracles at Capernaum. We've seen all of these things. Here's what Peter did. "Master, we've toiled all night. We've taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." So Peter, in that moment, just took Jesus at his word. And he went and did what Jesus said do, and you know the rest of the story. The drought, the draught was so heavy it almost turned the boat over. And here's what Peter did when Peter saw that. If you look, he says, "Depart from me, I am a sinful man, O God." And there, at that moment, Jesus said, "That man's ready to be called to the ministry." It was there on that seashore. It was at that time, long after they had seen who Jesus was, they had heard what he did, they'd seen it all, and Peter now obeys him, and God does a miracle for him. He sees that, he does that, and he said, Jesus said, he's now ready to be called. He says, "Now you, come follow me." First thing you got to do to follow Jesus is know who he is. He is the Son of God. He is God the Son. He is the King of Israel. He is the Creator. He is the Lamb of God. He is the Lord of life. He is all of that. And when Peter realized that, he fell on his knees and he said, "I am a sinful man." Of course, we know Peter would grow in his faith and Jesus would grow him quite often. But it was here, Jesus, in this moment, Matthew records Jesus. When you bring Luke together, Matthew together, all of that, it was here after this event. After this event. After this event. Jesus said, "Drop what you're doing and come with me." And Peter said, "Yes, Lord." Not just Peter, Andrew did too. You got to know who Jesus is. Second thing, very simple. Are you ready? This will blow you away. Do what Jesus says. Amen. To follow him, know who he is, and do what he says. He says, "Follow me." First off here, I want you to see there's just very simple, a little test of faith. He says, "Follow me." Language doctors tell us this is in the imperative mood. And that just means it's a command. Now, let me tell you something. If Jesus said, follow me, like a command, and you don't recognize who he is, what are you going to do? I'm not following you. Who are you to tell me what to do? It's an act of faith. Recognize the authority of Christ. He recognized that Christ had the authority over the fishes. He recognized that Christ had healed the lame. He'd healed the blind. He had recognized he's the Lamb of God. He had heard that, behold, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Peter has accepted the fact Jesus has the authority to tell him what to do. And he says, follow me. It's a command. This test is going to be twofold. It's going to be to recognize the authority Christ had and then the willingness to do that. Listen, if you follow Christ through the New Testament, you'll find several times he tested someone's claim of faith. Sometimes they passed. So somebody says, I believe you, I trust you, I follow you. Matthew chapter 8, there was a man that said, I'll go with you, but I need to go bury my father first. Jesus said, uh-uh. No, you don't. If you're going to follow me, you come on. There was a man that said, I never understood this. He said, I can't follow you. I got married. Henpecked Harry. He can't go with Jesus. Jesus said, I don't think so. If I've told you to come, then come. Rich young ruler. We always kind of blaze right past him, but the rich young ruler, he told Jesus, he said, I'm already in obedience to God. In other words, that's when Jesus said, he said, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, well, just keep all the commands. And he said, well, I've done all of that. And that was a claim to say, I'm already under the authority of God. When a man says, I've done all the things that God said do, he's saying, I'm already under his authority. And Jesus said, oh, well, since you're under my authority, I'm telling you, go sell everything and let's go. Rich man said, that's not what I meant. You're getting the picture. That when Jesus tested someone's faith, he put them on the spot for their sake. Jesus would say in Luke 6:46, as we said this morning, why call you me Lord? And you don't do the things that I say. There's the test of faith. But then there's the trust of faith. Test of faith was follow me. Here's the trust of faith. Follow me. To trust Jesus. To trust the man. Now, do you trust the Lord with your future? I mean, do you trust him with your future? That's really the whole plan here. When Jesus told these men, now listen, he doesn't tell everybody, but he told these men, abandon your livelihood. Put it in my hands. But Lord, you know, my wife and I, we really would like to have a nice spot of ground out on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. There's a really pretty cove out there we'd like to buy and like to, you know, we're saving up for that someday. Jesus said, I don't care. That doesn't have anything to do with me. Follow me. Give me your future. Trust me. But Lord, you may do something I don't like. I'm sure I will. But when it's all said and done, you're going to love what it means to follow me. When it's all said and done, you're going to love it. You may not like it in the meantime. But boy, once we get there, it's going to be a joy for you. Follow me. Oswald Chambers said, he said, faith for my deliverance is not just faith in God. Faith means that whether I am visibly delivered or not, I will stick to my trust in God. Listen, there are some things you can't learn outside the fiery furnace. Jesus would say in John 14:6, the famous message, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. You ever figured out what that means? I am the way. Follow me. I am the truth. Believe me. I am the life. Live me. I mean, everything you need, way, truth, life, it's all wrapped up in Jesus. I trust him. Now listen, don't ever misunderstand, all right? I don't want anybody to ever misunderstand. You can't do one thing to save your soul. But once you're saved, you've been called. Once you've been, Christ didn't save you to turn you back out in the cow pasture and let you roam. He saved you, and then he called you to be his disciple and to follow me. Well, not only do you see the test of faith and a trust of faith, but there's a trophy of faith. I like this. What Jesus says here, we often read that, is it's universal to everybody, and it may be. But he said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. I want to pause right there for a second. Jesus said, follow me and I will make you. I will make you. I'll make you into what I want. I'll make you into what I have for you. Now, he told these men, you're going to become fishers of men. And in a broad sense, every Christian is to be a witness in the sense that you're fishers of men. Not every Christian is called into vocational ministry, but every Christian is called to follow Christ by knowing who he is and just doing what he says. Amen. That's the simplest way to live a life I can tell anybody. Know who he is. Do what he says. Well, preacher, how can I do what he says? Well, I'm glad you asked. It's all in his word. Amen. Here's the thing that most people forget. And we see this a lot. You see people that try to follow Jesus but ignore the Bible. Friend, you can't do that. If you've got a Jesus separate from the Bible, you've got the wrong Jesus. And then you've got a people that try to stick to the Bible but have no real connection to Jesus. Well, friend, if that's the case, if you've got a Bible with no Jesus, you haven't got a Bible. You haven't read it, because the Bible teaches us about Jesus and Jesus speaks to us through his word. And he said, you follow me, you do what I say, and I will make you fishers of men. I love 1 John 3:2. Now we are the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. What was he? Jesus was a fisher of men. Now, there's some men that he calls, some people that he calls to leave everything they've got, break all ties, separate, and go serve. He doesn't call everybody to do that. But friend, he calls everybody to be willing to do that. When he calls everybody to be willing to do that, it was then that he looked at these disciples. You know, sometimes we forget there were a lot of people who followed Jesus. A lot of people that around Jesus, a lot of disciples. And Jesus didn't say this to every one of them. He said, Simon Peter, you come here. Andrew, come here. Nathaniel, Philip, Thomas. Judas, yeah, I know what you're going to do. You come here anyway. He didn't call the whole crowd, but he called some. And he said, you abandon it all and come with me. The rest of you, you be on standby. You be ready just in case. I've got a plan for you too. But until then, know who I am. Do what I say. Well, that's about the simplest thing I can think of. Now, friend, remember this. You're never saved by obedience. You're saved by faith. You're never saved by doing something. You're saved by trusting Christ. Amen. But the Christ that saved you has called you. Amen. He said, follow me. You know, one of the things that I love about our church is that we have a reputation of people that try to serve the Lord. And I want to always drive that deep. I want to strengthen that. I want everybody in here to be willing. And I'm so thankful. A while ago we had our meeting beforehand. Rooms full of people that want to help cook. Let me tell you, there'll be a lot more people that want to eat than want to cook. Most of the time that's the case in my house anyway. I can show you somebody always wants to eat but's not always willing to cook. Honey, I didn't call your name. She didn't hear what I said. That's good. Never mind. You've got to be willing. You know, sometimes, and I always say this, but I got this from a man named Homer Stout. Homer always, he led our church to start a prison ministry years ago. And we'd go into the prison, local county jail, every Sunday morning at 8 o'clock, give a devotional, sing songs, meet with all the prisoners. We thought it was wonderful. I don't know that they did, but we did, kind of as a captive audience. And when we started singing, they didn't have any choice but to listen. But Homer would always say, we can always use a grinner. If you can't do anything but grin, grin for the Lord. Amen. Just show up and be a grinner. And for years, I've thought about that. You know, you may not think you can do anything, but you can grin. And you'll be surprised how far a grin will take you. I was in Lowe's yesterday, because it's a federal law to do that on Saturday. You have to go to Lowe's and buy something. And I wound up standing in the aisle with a man, and I grinned at him, and he spoke to me, and I was there for an hour. Talking about, I'm the pastor of the church, and I told our men this morning who he was, and all just started with, now he may have looked at me and thought, man, that boy needs somebody to say something to him. I don't know. But friend, listen. Christ saved you for the rest of your life. Whatever, anywhere, anytime, any cost. Lord, I'll follow you. I hope you can say that to Jesus. I hope that.
Thanks for listening today. If Change Worth Making has made a difference in your life, please let us know. You can do that through changeworthmaking.org or pinecrestbaptist.org. And know Jesus really is the only change worth making.